Redline.
Poland is rocked by nationwide protests against the new government, judicial and media reforms, and the passing of new legislation on surveillance, all of which has come under sharp criticism from European leaders. As the situation in Poland is getting increasingly tense and is widely debated by leading global media, this is what we are going to discuss in our second section, Between the Lines, analyzing the most thought-provoking publications of the week. In an article entitled What Union Does Poland Want?, carried by The Telegraph and written by Witold Waszczykowski, Minister of Foreign Affairs of Poland, one of the key members of the Polish cabinet, hits back at the growing army of government critics both at home and abroad. And in a highly emotionally charged piece, not typical for a tight-lipped top diplomat, Mr. Waszczykowski writes, Poland fought long and hard against foreign occupation and aggression against an oppressive communist regime to achieve its current solid democratic order. Yet its new government, barely 2 months in office after winning a convincing democratic mandate, finds itself under fire from EU institutions and from overexcited media commentators who almost have not paused to consider the facts about our ambitious reform program. According to the author, growing discontent within society is causing people to lose trust in European integration. If we do not reverse these trends, then we risk the collapse of the whole European project, says the head of Polish diplomacy. This artificial argument with Warsaw is a futile distraction. The key question is how competent is the EU in standing up to the current challenges, and where should Poland fit into European solutions, writes Mr. Waszczykowski.
Well, Andrew, that's really an extraordinary article, and I personally read it, can you imagine, three times?
Oh,
because
you really liked it, huh?
Yeah, it tells a lot. As you said, it is unusual for a top diplomat.
It is unusual.
Because normally diplomats, they try to use very polite language. Here, a lot of angry rebukes.
Poland is very angry at the EU.
Towards the European Union. Just let me quote. He is saying that political compromise is needed by external pressure from Brussels. Can you imagine? External pressure from Brussels. This is one of the EU members is saying. At one point, I even had a feeling that he is trying to blackmail the leading bureaucracy in Brussels by saying that what is at stake is European project, as such, pan-European home. So if it doesn't work in Poland, that would have a long impact on the situation in neighboring countries, which is also very telling. And finally, I think that this article probably shows growing uneasiness which we see inside the Polish society. I don't like to be involved in blame game, but really what is happening in Poland this week comes as a sort of a cat and razor. We got to use here in Russia that Poland served as a sort of a bad policeman towards Russia within the European
historically
Union.
Historically, it's been this case.
Not only historically, if you look just at the situation in Europe, we know that Europe failed to speak in one voice towards Russia. They were soft voice of the old Europe, so to say, and harsh voices of so-called new democracies. And Poland was setting that anti-Russian campaign, trying to lecture Russia with democracy. And all of a sudden, we realized that they are unable to pass their own test on democracy. And this is what is said by their own citizens who are going to streets, who are, well, taking place in mass anti-government rallies, who say, we need media freedom, we don't need civilians, we need other basic freedoms.
Yes, these are very interesting observations, Sergei. I mean, I see it as an inter-Polish identity conflict between pro-European and pro-traditional elements that's playing out at international scale because of the structure of the EU. But because it's so pressing, I'm very glad that we have Mr. Andrei Fyodorov here as our in-studio guest to discuss this further. And he's Russia's former foreign deputy minister and director of the Center for Political Studies think tank here in Moscow. So what do you make out of all this talk about Poland? I mean, is Poland really turning its back on the EU? Is it trying to play some blackmail game? Or is this an internal problem that just got overly dramatized and now too many people are involved?
I think it's just an internal Polish problem, which is over-dramatized, because absolutely the same picture we have seen 1.5 years in Hungary, where the same steps were made.
I think we'll have Hungarian guests today.
And nothing has happened. I mean, Hungary is in EU. Yes, there are still disagreements between Budapest and Brussels, but it's not the case. I think the only thing that, according to my personal experience, and I'm visiting Poland since 1980, since Q a few times,
yeah.
When more or less the same situation was, is that Polish society is much more sensitive than, for example, Hungarian or other Eastern European to the democracy issues. It's because of the history of Polish history itself, especially in the late 80s, etc., etc. That's why such kind of reaction. Anyway, I cannot see that this is a mass negative reaction of Polish society. It's a reaction, first of all, of Polish intelligentsia, students, etc., etc., and there are a lot of different misinterpretations. I always remember a good anecdote from the Soviet time when American met Russian and said, we have true democracy and true freedom of speech in the United States. I can go in front of the White House and say that Reagan is a stupid guy. Russian answered him, yes, we have the same level of democracy and freedom of speech in Russia. I can go to the Red Square and say that Reagan is a stupid guy. So this is the question of interpretation. This is the question of interpretation. So it's not a clash between Warsaw and Brussels. It's a temporary disagreement which will not affect on the union in general.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, right now we have a Polish affairs expert on the line to discuss this further with us and expand on that. That's Ms. Nadezhda Arbatova. She's co-chairman of the German-Polish-Russian Trialogue Forum.
Red Line.
Hello, Ms. Arbatova. How are you?
Good morning. I think I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you so much for coming out of the program. I'd like to ask you where you think this civil spat is headed. I mean, as we've been discussing, this is a Polish identity issue between two sides of Poland. You have the government, you have intelligentsia and students. It should have stayed within the borders, in my personal opinion. Now it's a big European scandal. Brussels is commenting on it. Of course, you have Donald Tusk, former member of PO, which is now the opposition. He can get involved. This whole thing is like one big family affair gone wrong. What do you think is going to happen? You as an expert, where is this going, and how will this affect Poland's relations with Germany and also Russia?
First of all, I would fully agree with you. The situation is really scandalous for European Union because you know that Poland made a very impressive progress in its political and economic evolution. And now we see that all these achievements are being curtailed by the new government, by the new ruling party, which is known for its Euroscepticism and nationalism. So that's very sad because Poland achieved a lot and now it is losing her positions in European Union. And in my view, Poland is following the Hungarian style illiberal rule, which creates with new risks inside European Union, but because we see that in the situation when European Union is challenged by the migration crisis, populism is growing in all European countries. So, and populism and nationalism present the major threat to European integration because nationalism is the most dangerous virus for European integration.
Yeah, I was wondering if you could maybe expand a bit on this nationalism that's being embodied by peace and how you think that might impact on German-Polish relations. I mean, up until this point, the two sides had put aside most of their differences, of course, but I know that in Polish civil society, there's some skepticism and suspicion about German motives in the EU, German investment in Western Poland, formerly Eastern Prussia, so on and so forth. Can we see some of these identity tensions maybe be dug back up?
The party of Kaczynski is trying to play the anti-German card because this topic is very fashionable in Eurosceptic countries. And you know that Martin Schulz, who is German, said in one of his interviews, what is happening in Poland now is a kind of coup d'etat. And this was taken very closely to the heart by Kaczynski, by the Polish government. So I think that the gap between Poland and Germany will be increasing. Unless Poland and any special relations between countries will be out of question, unless Poland comes back to her real European vocation.
Okay, yeah, we have just about a minute here. I was wondering if you can just tell us like how likely you think that is. I mean, how likely will it be that these protests actually affect some type of change in government policy? Or will peace stick to its guns and carry out all its entire platform?
It is obvious. The negative consequence of this kind of rule is absolutely obvious, because we know that the government put a political squeeze on independent mass media, that it tried to check the system of checks and balances by changing the composition of the Constitutional Court. That's very sad. And I think that the opposition in Poland should resist firmly, because we remember that even in the Cold War time, there was a very strong movement, Solidarity. And I would say that their risks and stakes were higher, much higher than now.
Yeah, it definitely seems like that. But right now, we have to switch to another guest. So I'd like to thank you very much, Ms. Arbatova, for coming onto our program and sharing your insight with our listeners. It's warmly appreciated by us. Thank you.
Red Line.
Right now, we're going to switch over to Mr. Tadeusz Iwiński. He's a member of the Sejm, which is the lower house of the Polish parliament. Hello, Mr. Iwiński. Good morning.
Good morning. No, in fact, I was not, unfortunately, re-elected in October, despite my excellent result in my constituency, because it is one of the reasons of the present situation in Poland that the left registered itself as a coalition, and we were not able to pass 8% threshold. And for that reason, Law and Justice Party, for the first time in the Polish history since the transformation in 1989, has the simple majority. So, but anyway, all the best from Sunny Warsaw.
Mr. Iwiński, let me ask you about those mass protests which are rocking Poland. So it seems that Polish society is polarized, it is divided. So how far this discontent can go? What happened to Poland? What is your prediction?
Well, it will depend on the course of events, because we observe mainly in the big cities the protests, mass protests, given the specialité de la maison, the situation in Poland, because in our country, I am not coming back to the solidarity time. This is not Italy, nor France, nor Spain that you normally see the 100,000 of people protesting. But there is a there are regular protests, mainly against the violating of the Constitution. So two or three issues are focusing now the attention. By the way, today there is a debate in Polish parliament on the foreign policy, because we have quite tense relations with the European Union, and 10 days ago it was a debate in European Parliament about the situation in Poland. It will be soon probably in the Council of Europe. Then there is a situation in Polish media, the complete change, the special law that aimed at change of the all, well, leaders in Polish media. So the party, to some extent, in quotation marks, occupied the media. Then even today, there is going on in Senate, the second chambers, the debate. It was ended in same, very controversial, about surveillance legislation. The pretext for that is forcing the, you know, taping somebody's phone for 18 months.
Thank you very much, Mr. Iwiński. Our other guest that's on the line right now is Mr. Horváth Gábor. He's foreign editor of Népszá Bátság paper from Budapest. Hello, Mr. Gábor. How are you?
Good morning. I'm very well. Thank you.
Thank you for coming on the program again. We have about 1 minute left or so, and was wondering if you can comment on what some of the critics are saying about Poland, that it's undergoing quote-unquote urbanization. Now, I know that they say this in a bad way, but is there any good way to look at this, and how legitimate is this label?
Well, of course there is a good way to look at it, if you look at it from Moscow. Looking at it from Budapest or Warsaw, it has nothing with it at all. Occupying the Constitutional Court, removing all the checks and balances, all outside control over the government's functions, this is not the European way of doing business. Of course, it's a huge problem for the European Union if a single country does it. If there are more than one, then it's even a bigger problem, and it comes at a very, very bad moment when Europe is in crisis anyway.
Yeah, do you think that it seems like Hungary, I mean, had kind of led the way with this movement? I mean, that's why people are referring to it as urbanization. I mean, do you think that's a fair assessment to say that Hungary was kind of the first, Poland's the second, and maybe there'll be a third state to kind of follow this model inside the EU?
Well, yes, of course. Well, back in 2010, almost 6 years ago, when Orban started all this stuff, there was this scare in the European Union then if one country is allowed to forego any common principles of the European Union, then it could set a very bad example for others. Of course, Slovakia is the next suspect because Robert Fico is feeling very much tempted to do the same. Some other countries might follow this lead. And of course, Poland is trying to organize an East European bloc inside the European Union. That's not a good thing.
Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing your insight from Central Europe and actually from Hungary where these processes began. We really appreciate it, Mr. Gabor. But right now, we're all out of time, so we're thanking all of our guests for participating. First one is our in-studio guest, Mr. Andrei Fyodorov. He's Russia's former deputy foreign minister and director of the Center for Political Studies think tank. Mrs. Nadezhda Arbatova, co-chairman of German-Polish-Russian Trialogue Forum. Mr. Tadeusz Iwiński, former member of the Sejm, the lower house of the Polish parliament, and Mr. Horvath Gabor, foreign editor at Népszabadság paper from Budapest. Following in our program, we have Hassan Rouhani to Europe with Dove. Stay with us.